There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're discussing the theme of isolationism, the paradox of America both wanting to mind its own business. It does have a very large ocean between here and Europe. And at the same time, America showing up just in time to rescue Europe twice in the 20th century and maybe for the third time in the 21st. Not yet determined. I read a headline from the Financial Times in these last hours. Donald Trump has well-founded plans for Russia-Ukraine peace talks, Viktor Orban, Prime Minister of Hungary, claims. Subhead, Hungarian Prime Minister tells EU leaders in a private letter that Republican candidate would rapidly push to end the war. Rapidly push, meaning that the newly elected president or president-elect, because the timeline here is unclear, would insist that Mr. Zelensky or his surrogate enter into conversation immediately with the Kremlin, a ceasefire and a resolution of the matter. This alarms the Financial Times editorial page. Why, Gregory? They do not have the money, the time, the energy to continue this war another year.
And if the Financial Times, based in London, is so concerned about continuing the war with Russia through Ukraine, why is the Financial Times not raising the issue of the sad state of the British defense sector, firstly under the outgoing Conservative government and under the current Labour government, which is coming in? The reality is that Britain has been the second biggest provider of aid to Ukraine in military terms since February 2022. And there's been no concise reason for Britain to do this other than that it cites a threat of expansion by Russia without providing any background or evidence for this. There's no question that Russia rushed into Ukraine ill-prepared at the time in order to protect its interests. That could have been avoided, and most Ukrainian politicians at the time even said that it could have been avoided and the discussions were already underway. But Washington didn't want that to happen. Washington was quickly backed up by British politicians of the like of there's several British prime ministers, conservative prime ministers, all of whom are profoundly anti-Russian. Now, we don't know why they're profoundly anti-Russian. You could understand them being profoundly anti-Soviet during the Cold War, because the Soviet Union was, in fact, hostile to the West and hostile to Western values. But the post-Soviet Russia was not hostile in any form to that. So you've got this war being conducted by Western states, including the UK, without any understanding of the strategic objectives or purpose of this war, when they really need to resolve this situation to start dealing with other matters, including the general breakdown of viability, economic and social viability in the European Union itself, the rise of the People's Republic of China as a threat. And I keep pointing out that the People's Republic of China is not a rising power, but it is a rising threat. So it's quite distinctive. But so the shock and horror we saw from the Financial Times and the European Commission itself over the Orban letter is a storm in a teacup, which basically should have the FT and the European Commission being laughed out of the room. It's interesting that Orban, after his meeting with former President Trump, essentially came up with the news that the Trump team had a well-constructed plan to move toward a settlement of the Ukraine conflict, as though this was somehow an offensive offensive to Western morality. And in fact, the European Council President Charles Michel basically wagged his finger at Orbán, saying he had no role in representing the EU internationally and had been given no mandate to do so. And I'm thinking, this is President Michel lecturing the head of government of a sovereign nation state, doing what it is entirely empowered to do, which is to fulfill a role in projecting its foreign policy. And not only that, Orbán is, as I say, head of government. Michel is an official in an organization which has no sovereignty whatsoever. The European Council, representing the European Union, is interesting because the European Union is not a government. It is not a nation state. And yet here they are basically laying down the law to sovereign governments as though they had a mandate to do so. And this is part of what's going wrong with the European Union itself. So it's going to be interesting. And history is definitely moving along the path of supporting Orbán, Trump, and the other conservative movements taking place throughout Western Europe.
What is striking about this, Gregory, is that we're witnessing at the same time the apparent recognition that the right of center is gaining credibility in many parts of the EU, and yet the apparatus that you talk about, headquartered in Brussels, is either in denial or fearful, I can't tell that from this distance, of the fact that democracy is going its way, adjusting to the conditions. Democracy is adjusting to the Russian confrontation, and it seeks resolution. And it would appear that the Brussels apparatus is not ready for peace.
That's absolutely correct. But if they're not ready for peace, what are they ready for? If we have the feeling that if they start the peace initiative or support the peace initiative in Ukraine, then all of a sudden they'll also have to start facing internal complaints within the European Union on a range of issues.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We turn now to matters that are a great concern to us about nuclear weapons and what are they good for here in the 21st century. North Korea is always boasting of its nuclear weapons. Mr. Putin's taken to talking about his. What about the U.S. and the so-called nuclear umbrella when we come back? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.